If you are a believer in Christ, don't act so surprised by how many churches have changed in the last several years to accept gay marriage. This was all brought on because almost all churches compromised on divorce and remarriage over the last several decades. After all, if you can accept adulterous marriages into the church in violation of passages like 2 John 9-11, why can't you do the same with gay marriages? To explain why the Vineyard Church of Ann Arbor had changed to accept gay marriage, Ken Wilson, its founding preacher, said, "Why was I willing to let so many divorced and remarried couples know that they are welcome and wanted while refusing that same welcome to gay and lesbian couples? How could I say to the remarried couples whose second marriage was clearly condemned by the plain meaning of Scripture, 'You are welcome and wanted,' while saying to the two mothers raising their adopted child together, 'I love you, but I hate your sin'?" What do we learn from Mr. Wilson's statement? That many churches now accept gay marriage because they saw it was inconsistent to accept adulterous marriages and not accept gay marriages on the same basis. After all, they're the same thing in principle. What do I mean by adulterous marriages? Consider Matthew 19:9. "Whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality," or fornication, "and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." Do you see that if you have divorced your spouse for any reason other than fornication, or if they have divorced you, then you are living in adultery with a second spouse? Surely you don't think God approves of you continuing to commit adultery with that person indefinitely? Should adulterous marriages be terminated? Secular history tells us that Herodias had divorced her husband Philip unscripturally and then married Herod. Notice in Matthew 14:4 what John the Baptist told Herod about his marriage to Herodias. "It is not lawful for thee to have her." Does that mean John, who was speaking for God, of course, expected Herod to stay in the marriage or terminate the marriage? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? As I mentioned, many churches have changed on this issue. As a typical example, notice what the Methodist Creed book said in 1896 about divorce. "No divorce, except for adultery, shall be regarded by the church as lawful, and no minister shall solemnize marriage in any case where there is divorced wife or husband living, but this rule shall not be applied to the innocent party to a divorce for the cause of adultery." Then notice what the same creed book said about 90 years later in 1984, "Where marriage partners, even after thoughtful consideration and counsel, are estranged beyond reconciliation, we recognize divorce as regrettable, but recognize the right of divorced persons to remarry." Did you hear the huge change from standing for exactly what Matthew 19:9 says in 1896 to something completely different in 1984? But it gets worse. In 2015, the United Methodist Church leadership voted to submit a legislative proposal that removes prohibitive language from the United Methodist Book of Discipline concerning homosexuality. The proposal would allow United Methodist pastors to perform same-sex marriages in United Methodist churches. This proposal does not consider homosexuality incompatible with Christian teachings, even though Methodists have historically recognized the practice as sinful. Conclusion: if we're going to stand for God's truth that gay marriages should be terminated, Romans 1:26 and 27, to be consistent, we're going to have to oppose adulterous marriages also. Stand by for Bible Crossfire coming up next on this channel, where we discuss such biblical issues in depth.